music, it's time to break open God's Word in the Psalms, in the Soulful Psalms segment of Beacon of Truth. And this is where we take the Sefer Telachim, or the Book of Sung Praises, and we elaborate on God's Word, meditate on how God is speaking to us in and through the Psalms, which we hear at every single Mass. Well, today we're going to take a look at one of the psalm, the longest psalm, Psalm 119, that focuses a meditation on God's law. And this is broken up into 21 sections. Well, there's 22 letters. There's seen and sheen is a symbiont. So if it has a doggish over the right horn or left horn, it's either a S or a sh sound. So technically there's 22 letters, but one symbiont. But we're going to look at the Samech strophe of Psalm 119, Samech. So Samech is the 15th letter of the Jewish alphabet. And again, this is a meditation on God's law. Now, Psalm 119 is in Book 5 of the Psalms, of course, Psalms 107 to 150. But we don't have authorship for Psalm 119, right? A long, beautiful meditation on God's law. So let's dive in. So Samech strophe starts at Psalm 119, verse 113. How often do you hear us say a number that high when we look at the Psalm? Psalms 100 verse 113. All right. I detest those with a divided heart, but I love your law. Ooh, I detest. See, that's a strong word there. I detest those with a divided heart. What do you mean by a divided heart? Our hearts are supposed to be geared toward intimacy with the Lord, right? The word heart in Hebrew is leb, right? And we remember from 1 Samuel 16, when we first encountered David, God didn't look at his stature or his height or what he, you know, the fact that he was just a teenager and a shepherd. He looked at what kind of heart David had. Right. So, and that's when God, when we look at God, he wants to see, he looks at our hearts. He doesn't care what we look like on the outside. What he cares about is what kind of person we are on the inside. But if our hearts are divided, are we choosing the things of God or are we choosing the things of the world? Are we allowing God's law to influence us? Are we allowing the world's laws and the world's rules where they think they're God? Are we allowing that to divide our hearts? So is our heart splitting time between God and the world, right? So that's what we're talking about today in the first part of this reflection on the Psalms. Then he continues, "You are my hiding place, my shield. I hope in your word." So even though he's looking at someone whose heart's divided, he's like, you know, I detest that kind of person. But for me, you are my hiding place. You are my place of refuge. You are the place where my heart can unite with your most holy and sacred heart, right? You are my shield. I hope in your word. I love that part because what is the word? Oh, wrong question. Who is the word? The word is Jesus, right? In the prologue of John's gospel, the word became flesh and dwelt among us. So what are we hoping? We don't hope in the things of the world. We hope in the Word, right? So, of course, this is Old Testament. This is the Psalms. But we can anticipate that Word being the Word that became flesh. That's what our hope is in. Verse 115, depart from me, you who do evil. Right? We're talking about exorcism today. The word for cast out is exorkizo. Right? That's where the word exorcism comes from, the Greek word exorkizo, which is means cast out. We see that in Revelation chapter 12, where it says that there was a battle in heaven and Satan and his demons were cast out, exorkizo, by St. Michael the archangel and the other archangels fighting against the devil in heaven. All right. Depart from me, you who do evil. So when we do exorcism, we are asking evil to depart from us. I will keep my God's commands, right? Get behind me, Satan. I ain't following you. I don't want to hear what you have to say. I'm following Jesus, Right? That means, look, that's the kind of courage we need to have today to stand up against this culture of death, this culture of woke, of brokenness and confusion. Right? Why should we be embarrassed or ashamed for our faith? Stand strong for Jesus. Right? Put the devil behind you and focus our life and our attention on the commands and the law of God. Uphold me by your promise. I shall live. Let my hopes not be in vain. Right? Because another psalm, right, says a vain hope for safety is the horse. Despite its power, it cannot save. In other words, we put our things and focus ourselves and our attention, our lives on the things of the world. We will never find satisfaction. We will never find salvation. Why? Because nothing in this world can save. Only Christ can save. Only Christ can give life. Right? Only our lives lived in the heart of Christ. That's how we find our purpose and meaning. Right? So let my hopes not be in vain. Right? Of course our hope's not in vain because we're hoping in Christ. And now it's us that sometimes turn away. Right? What we used to call in the Protestant church, what they call it? Backsliding. Right? Sometimes you backslide. Right? But that's okay. Sometimes you got to take temptation and sin moves us back a few steps. You just pick up and just keep moving forward.
Hmm. Well, and I love to, and I think we've said this, but I can't remember which conversation it was, but whenever we turn from God, he's always right there with us. We just have to turn back around so that we are engaging into him. It's like, well, I don't know why God's not. Well, maybe you haven't relinquished or let go of the thing that is distracting you from him, and you just need to turn back around. And that's oftentimes we have to be reminded of that. That is, he's right there. We just have to turn, like just pivot.
Yeah, so and that's a great point, because the word for conversion, metanoia in Greek, or shub, in Hebrew, means to turn your mind around, like 180. Mm-hmm. You know, so no, that's spot on, Ace. You're exactly right. And he continues on the meditation on the law. Bear me up, and I shall be saved. In other words, bear me up, hold me up, support me. Ooh, wow. In my heart, right there, powerful image, right? Hold me up, bear me up. Christ is borne up by the wood of the cross. The wood of the cross is holding Christ up, right? And why? So that I shall be saved, right? This is why meditating on the scriptures is so powerful. This psalm was written hundreds of years before Jesus was even born, but yet we can see the beauty of Christ, what we call looking at the Psalms Christologically, looking at their fulfillment and their purpose in Christ. Bear me up and I shall be saved. The Lord support me so that I can find salvation, right? Your support, your love is what's going to uphold me. Your love is what's going to keep me from turning complete. Like I said, as Ace was just saying, from prevent us from turning around. No, let us not be afraid to turn and face God, right? With hearts that are pure. That's why we have the sacrament of reconciliation. That's why we have the Eucharist, to strengthen us on our journey of faith. Bear me up and I shall be saved, and ever muse on your statutes, right? What are we thinking about? What do we think? Are we filling our head with the things of the world, or are we constantly thinking about the things of God, right? I mean, as I walk through my day, I'm just saying things like, thank you, Jesus. You know, thank you, Lord. You know, I'm so grateful to you, Jesus. I just, as I'm walking through the street, as I'm driving in the cars, I'm walking through the stores, I'm going to the bank or the dry cleaner or the post office, which I typically do when I'm home. You know, just those little utterances, just mindfulness that we're constantly in the presence of God. Beautiful thing. You spurn all who stray from your statutes. Their cunning is in vain. They think they can outdo God. They think they can outthink God. But they can't. They can't. It's a fallacy, right? It's a fallacy. Atheism, right? Agnosticism, right? Those things are just fallacious. So God is not real. You can't see, taste, touch, measure, or quantify, and it's not real. No, God is real. There's nothing more real than God. That's for sure. Sooner or later, either now in this world, if you hearts that are open toward truth, not subjective truth, but objective truth, then we will find our way. And then finally, you regard the wicked like dross. So dross is like slime, or like, you know, the stuff that you power wash, that stuff that's, you know, sludge, stuff like that. You regard the wicked like dross. So I love your decrees. I don't want you to think of me the way you think of the wicked. So no, I'm going to focus on your decrees, your laws, your statutes, your ordinances in my life. My flesh trembles in terror before you. I fear your judgments. Now, the word here is not yare. we often talk about the kind of filial fear of God, the kind of spiritual fear. No, this is about being afraid here. My flesh trembles in terror before you, thinking of I could end up in heaven or I could end up in hell. My decision. Am I going to follow God? Am I going to follow the ways of the world and put myself at the heart and the center of everything?
For more on the Soulful Psalms with Deacon Harold Berg Sivers, check out Beacon of Truth weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio and streaming everywhere you listen to podcasts.